It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop on this issue, and it dropped, for sure. Let's go back to the Trump era. And the administration back then had set up this whole thing, regardless of who was going to succeed him, if anybody did, and Biden did, that would allow new oil and gas drilling and fracking on millions of millions and millions of acres right here in Central California. But of course, this has been put on the back burner by Gavin Newsom and the worthless Attorney General Rob Bonta. Yeah, so, you know, and other state environmental agencies. No, we can't do that. Gee whiz, any shot at becoming energy independent again? No. During a time of war? Oh, don't do that. Man. So, you know, that's that, and we'll see what happens. But this was something that was widely talked about. Even Jerry Brown said, got no problem with fracking going on over in the Monterey Shelf, where there's a lot of it. He kept that real quiet, but, you know, this is something that he was about. But he didn't get that far either. Anyway, the reasoning for not doing it is the biggest, largest amount of political spin and back talk I've ever heard, and we'll go through it quickly on the Appleton program. GEICO and the little gecko, what are they doing? They're leaving California forever. Forever. They're packing their tent and they're closing 38 California offices. They're going to stop selling, you know, insurance over the phone and, you know, to people living in California. Hundreds and hundreds of GEICO employees have been laid off with no guarantee of nothing. So what's the reasoning behind this? We'll try and sort it out when we get to that. Getting to the local lawsuit going on at the zoo. Man, Chaffee Zoo and their elephants are in the crosshairs of this group called the Non-Human Rights Project. Yeah. And they filed a civil suit against our elephant situation at the zoo. Now, the photographs, and I pointed this out, that were all used in the newspaper and anywhere else covering this lawsuit, those photographs weren't our elephants. That wasn't our zoo. And they were old pictures. And all of a sudden, this group says, oh, well, yeah, we didn't disclose that this wasn't the real deal here, but, I mean, this could be an elephant anywhere in the United States of America, so what's the difference? I mean, have these people been out to see the open-air walk-through African exhibit out of the zoo? The answer is no, they have not. They're just looking to get some publicity off the back of our great zoo. You know, the three African elephants out there are very happy, and these people say, well, they're being unlawfully imprisoned, they're being restrained against their liberty. And this is the biggest crock of bovine scatology I've heard this week. You know, with this exhibit that we have now, I would challenge the treatment of elephants against any other zoo in this country. I would. And I'd win. And this group is, again, you know, telling everybody that they're being harmed by the zoo staff. What is this just wrong with these people? What's wrong? Yeah. How about another virus? Hey, we got monkeypox. That's the one you're talking about. No, I'm talking about a different virus. We have a new one. The Tulare County Public Health folks have confirmed a human case of St. Louis encephalitis. Spit it out. This is very similar to West Nile, transmitted through a mosquito bite. And it's kind of the same drill. If you have St. Louis encephalitis, that virus, flu-like symptoms, headaches, in many cases it affects the central nervous system, and that gets a little bit out of control. So now we've got the competing monkey virus with encephalitis virus, the St. Louis encephalitis virus. Now, I told you yesterday, I had West Nile virus many years ago, and I was in intensive care over at the community hospital for about 3 or 4 weeks, and that came up because our beloved Jack Hanna died as a result of West Nile virus. We announced that yesterday for the first time. So, I remember going through this, and I was hallucinating. Do you all remember the story I told you way back when that happened? I was hallucinating like a madman because my brain was swelling. And that happens with this St. Louis encephalitis virus. So, hey, there's another one we can compete with. Phew. I tell you. do I ever have anything good to tell you anymore? And let's talk about the Russians and the Ukrainians. What is Russia claiming this week? They say they have direct evidence that the United States of America is directly involved with the war in Ukraine. That would mean boots on the ground, artillery, jets, all of that, mano a mano. Sounds pretty scary, but it ain't true. It's a huge crock. And, you know, we've had a lot of crocks so far in this monologue, haven't we? Putin needs to focus on something else other than his using doubles and his disappearance the other day in Iran, because he's going to use this as a great deflector to get the spotlight off of him. So all of a sudden, you know, the United States is in there fighting mano a mano against my guys. And yeah, right. Mm-hmm. He's also declaring a Ukrainian military unit as a terrorist group. And of course, it has to be a regiment I've talked about a lot, the Azov Regiment of Ukraine, which is an organization that's been banned in Russia for quite some time. You've heard me bring up this group before. Exactly what is the Azov Battalion, which was formed in 2014? It's a volunteer brigade that has been pushed to bolster Ukrainians' undermanned and underfunded military. And some people would tell you that, you know, these are radical, ultra-right-wing fighters, and they all come from the far-right, you know, spectrum of the political spectrum, whatever. But who cares? Who cares if they're doing the job and they're beating the Russians back? So they don't like this group, the Azov Battalion, so they're going to be declared, you know, a terrorist group for what it's worth, you know? And with an eye on this country and the game of Republicans and Democrats, nobody plays it better than Thomas Del Picario. Thomas Del Picario is going to be joining us at noon, the former chair of the Republican Party. He's an author. He's a movie producer. He's a movie star. He's a script writer. I love that story from the other day. He'll be joining us at noon. He wrote a great piece, and it's about the civil war that's beginning to brew within the Democratic Party. It's a good piece, and we'll dive into it today on KMJ. He'll be joining us at noon. And remember, sometime during the day, this afternoon, I'm still going to have a family four-pack of tickets to launch at you to see Lee Greenwood at the historic Wilson Theater downtown Fresno. It's a sweet one. And what else? What else? Oh, well, there are a few of us, maybe more than a few, who are not real thrilled that COVID has reared its head again, and it seems to be spreading all over the place. Well, now there is a new treatment, and I thought this would be it during the beginning. Linda Haldeman and I talked about this, and we figured, and I'm not a doctor, but I said, come on. The easiest way to put this thing at bay would be to develop a nasal vaccine because of the way it transmits through the body, and I'm using all the wrong terms. Well, lo and behold, we now have, or will have soon, a nasal vaccine that scientists are saying, and it's being peer-reviewed, is the most positive, absolute way to curb the spread of this virus. We'll see. You know, the thought there is, well, does it mutate again so it can fight against nasal vaccines? And we told you yesterday about how we've taken out the leader of Al-Qaeda, Ayman al-Zahari. And you know how they found him? You know what he was doing when we zapped him? It was tricky stuff, I got to tell you. So terrorists, beware. You have been warned. We know where you are. There were some primaries yesterday. Michigan, Missouri, Arizona, and Washington. And what can we take away from those primaries? Are the Democrats still in for a big, ugly surprise in November? Or is there something else that happened in the primaries that might take it the other way? You know, we'll see. And I love stories about the good guys and the bad guys and when the good guy wins. We've got one here about an 80-year-old California liquor store owner. Goes to work every day, opens a place up, shuts it down, and what he did with a man that was trying to rob him. 23-year-old wannabe robber. Yeah. Don't ever take on an 80-year-old liquor store owner with a shotgun in his hand and says, I'm going to take your goods. We'll explain the whole story. And yeah, again, you have been warned. And the question that most people ask, not going to get serious here for a minute, in the United States of America, this is even bigger than, where did we come from? How did we evolve? This question is, are airplane seats too small? Yes! The FAA wants to know, are airplane seats too small when you're traveling? Yeah, they are. End of statement, that's over. And monkeypox, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. I was getting texted quite a bit from a doctor I know that was saying this and that about monkeypox, and I'd hope to have her on today, and it doesn't look, it may happen, but she got called into surgery, and that's that. But I still want to spend some more time on trying to define this disease and, you know, what it does. Okay, so a lot to do. Thomas Del Picaro at noon today. Phone numbers, if you want to play radio with Raymond. Well, that sounded silly. 490-5858. And the toll-free number from just about anywhere is 800-776-5858. We're going to blast off and pay the bills, and then we'll get rocking today on KMJ.
The Ray Appleton Podcast, right now.
Click the podcast page.
KMJNow.com.
It's free.
Now, Ray Appleton.
There's just a gob of stuff going on here today. And a lot of it has to do with viruses and health. And, I mean, here we go again. But it's a little different from the angle of, you know, we were on COVID-19 24/7. It drove me absolutely crazy. But the monkeypox has confirmed a couple of days ago. And I wanted to bring this up yesterday, and I totally zoomed on it. This is, you know, we've told you before, monkeypox rarely found in this country. Okay? Don't find it. And as it is right now, I think there's just under 6,000 cases of this virus, just over 800 here in California. So to go after this spike, to try and determine what we have in our immediate medical stock that works, that helps if you've got the monkeypox, we found out something a little unusual. But it's good news. And it's good news, especially since Gavin Newsom declared a state of public emergency for the whole state of California because of monkeypox. And what that means, the declaration means that there's going to be more vaccines readily available, more R&D, will increase the state's stockpile, on and on and on. But one of the vaccines being used to fight monkeypox in a good way is the smallpox vaccine. Now, I've been vaccinated against smallpox. I'm of that era where all kids had to get it. Right now, you don't have to get it. But they're seeing this has a great effect on monkeypox. Experts say that smallpox and monkeypox, it's just a funny word to say, monkeypox, they belong in the same family of viruses. So if you're protected against one virus, you are protected against the other. That's a legit medical conclusion there. In Mariposa County, there are still no known cases of monkeypox, but Monday's announcement means it's time. Let me explain. Quote, once we identify a case, then have that network in place to do the contact tracing. That's probably the most similar thing that we've found to COVID and our ability to do an investigation and contact tracing. So says the Mariposa County health people. So I bring them up because everybody in a health capacity throughout the California and their counties, they're becoming very proactive. They don't want COVID, you know, no, monkeypox becoming the new COVID and taking everything over. So we'll see what happens. But if indeed, you know, the smallpox vaccine works in fighting monkeypox, hallelujah. Now, I had smallpox vaccine when I was 3, 4, 5. I don't remember. Am I still, you know, protected? I don't know, but I'll find out. So you got your monkeypox right there. Now, right over here, you've got your St. Louis encephalitis virus. What's that? Tulare County Public Health. They've confirmed one human case of this virus. Those in the know say it's fairly similar to West Nile. Both are transmitted by the same type of mosquitoes. Boo. 5 other cases are under investigation as potential encephalitis or West Nile virus infections. So health officials tell us many people infected with encephalitis show flu-like symptoms. They have a fever, they have a headache, or they have no symptoms at all. Severe cases can affect the brain and the central nervous system, hence my insane hallucinations back in 2010, 2011, where was I contracted that? So officials want to remind you, you know, to drain standing water that might attract mosquitoes. If you have a fountain in front of your home, like I do, you just got to make sure that water is constantly turning, you know, cycling, because the water has to be dead still to invite the encephalitis type mosquitoes and the West Nile virus types of mosquitoes. If you have a bird bath that just stands with a little bit of water in it, dump it. They love those things, the mosquitoes. They love to breed in bird baths. So, and you know, same thing. If you attract mosquitoes, you wear repellent and long sleeve pants and shirts. And if you're going outside, to avoid getting bitten. So there. St. Louis encephalitis virus. Now, COVID-19 and what could be considered a breakthrough, I'm hoping. I mean, we Americans continue to live with this stupid thing. Now this highly contagious version is taking over the country. And, you know, we're just kind of looking it in the eye and saying, what do we do now? Just last week, federal health officials and vaccine manufacturers got together at a White House summit on the future of COVID, and the president's on his second case of it, and agreeing that there needs to be something more innovative in the way of vaccines, more effective in preventing infections and protecting against potential variants. And the summit occurred, you know, as the U.S. is undergoing another surge of the coronavirus cases. There are two new variants upon us, BA.4 and BA.5. Both of these subvariants, highly contagious. And early evidence shows these subvariants are better at evading prior immunity, meaning people with immunity, either from vaccines or past COVID infections, are susceptible to another infection, but very mild compared to their first. So to get to the point, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and that fellow is directed by, that organization is directed by a little fellow whose name is what, class? Anthony Fauci. Tony Fauci. I got my new pizza. The COVID-19. It's got 19 different things on it, you know? Okay, not funny. Anyway, during the summit, he advocated for two pillars of the next generation of vaccine, which would include the development of a pan-coronavirus vaccine to help curb the proliferation of variants, and the biggie, which science really likes this one, a nasal vaccine that can be inhaled instead of injected. Now, most currently, the studies of intranasal COVID-19 vaccines are in the preliminary stages, but research has shown super-duper promising results. So, I mean, this is one that could be very helpful, very different from the others. A viable nasal vaccine. Many of the talking heads in the medical community are saying this is the one that will prevent the spread of the virus. Now, while the current mRNA COVID-19 vaccines introduce a robust immunity in the blood, preventing severe disease, research has suggested that the antibody response in the airwaves where the virus enters the body may be lacking. See where we're going here? Particularly when it comes to the Omicron sublineage. So therefore, a nasal vaccine may be the way to fly, because it's those areas, in simplification, that are just not protected by the vaccines that are designed to go into your bloodstream. Not that hard to sort out. So hopefully we will get this soon. Hopefully it'll work. You know, and then we'll go through all of the noise like we go through every time there's a new vaccine for something, of the fairy tales and the maybe could be trues and this really is trues, and, you know, which side are you going to be on? Mm-hmm. But, and I'll be the first one to say this too, it's been determined that much more research needs to be done. And it's too early to say whether these nasal results observed in animal models will translate to humans. But so far in animals, it's been a really good thing. I think the effectiveness has been close to 100%. So there are plenty of nasal vaccines candidate under development right now. But most studies, you know, right now, are still at the early phase of this. There's been a very, very few human trials as of yet. And more than likely, it's going to take a year or two before we get that viable nasal vaccine available to the public and, you know, up for consumption and use. So that will be just the addition of another weapon to what's going on as we fight and fight and fight and fight these diseases. It's getting very tiring. But, you know, I think the wise thing basically, is that, yes, develop the nasal vaccine, but then beyond that, just don't do anything. I was talking to my new doctor the other day, and it was earlier this week I went, or last week, I can't remember. And he was saying that this is just another cold. And he says that's the way he treats it with his patients. It's another cold. Go home, drink lots of fluid, make sure that you're breathing okay, get your temperature down, and that's that, and it goes away. And I think that's the way it's going to have to be. I don't think we're ever going to find a cure for this thing, And, all right, if it's just another cold, then okay, it's just another cold. But if we can do something to make the symptoms less painful, less irritating, then let's do it. And maybe there's something to this nasal vaccine. Maybe. Hope so. Monkeypox, St. Louis encephalitis virus. I mean, what's happening to us? It's like a bad science fiction film.
Subscribe to the Ray Appleton podcast, or click the podcast page at kmjnow.com.
You know how Gavin Newsom's been going after Governor DeSantis in Florida? These television ads that he's running down there? They're embarrassing. They're embarrassing because it makes, our governor look like a little cray baby boy. The way he's squawking about what's happening in Florida, which is none of his business. So how about a little tit for tat, There's a new ad campaign that was launched Monday here in California mocking the ad that Gavin Newsom launched in July, which attacked DeSantis and invited Floridians to move to the free state of California. Remember we talked about that? This is the freest state in the union, according to Gavin Newsom. All of our rights and liberties are absolutely intact. Whew. So Newsom's first reaction to this whole ad was apparently he was mad. He didn't like it. And Newsom's first re-election campaign ad in California, targeting Floridians, saying, "Freedom is under attack in your state. Republicans were banning books. They're making it harder for you to vote and restricting speech in classrooms, even criminalizing women with doctors," end quote. And the ad, points to news headlines about Florida laws banning public schools from teaching sexual orientations and gender identity, K through third grades, banning abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy, and on and on and on. And in response, Vote the R, which is a Florida-based super PAC, launched a 30-second ad mocking Gavin Newsom last month. After raising enough money to run the ad in California, the PAC launched, a $25,000 digital ad campaign on Monday. It's two 30 and 60 second spots, a couple of them. California Freedom, skip a meal, or 2 or 10 to pay for gas. They have no affiliation with DeSantis' campaign, by the way. But did you get that? California Freedom, skip a meal, or 2 or 10 to pay for gas. Both governors are running, re-election bids, and they're considered by the political pundits to be potential presidential rivals in 2024. The shorter ad depicts Newsom speaking with a voiceover saying, "I urge you to join us in California, where we'll take the money that you earn and give it to the people who don't work." Visit San Francisco, where you can walk a mile through human feces. If you're lucky, you might even step on a syringe. That's another ad. They're going for it, aren't they? Here's another one. Check out Los Angeles, where gas is so expensive, your kids only need to skip a meal, or 2 or 10, to afford it. And the ads, they say, are running to expose Newsom's ridiculous hypocrisy while giving it a sort of a despondent citizens a little hope. Yeah. So, Michael tells me we've got the audio. Let's roll it. Listen carefully on KMJ. This is going to be good. Go.
It's Independence Day, so let's talk about what's going on in America. Freedom is under attack in your state. Dictator Ron DeSantis incredibly lets you walk around without masks. That tyrant allows your kids to go to school during the pandemic, year 2 or 4, or who the hell knows. I urge you living in Florida to join the fight. Or join us in California, where we'll take the money you earn and give it to people who don't work. Visit San Francisco, where you can walk through human feces. If you're lucky, you might step on a syringe. Check out Los Angeles, where gas is so expensive, your kids only need to skip a meal or two or 10 to afford it. California, where freedom means lockdowns for you while I go to the places you can't afford. Don't let them take your freedom. Come to California, where we'll take it along with your money. Legal and idiot disclaimer. This is not Gavin Newsom's voice.
Oh, you gotta love that. That's the first time I've heard it. You gotta love that. That's a good one, you know? So, it's gonna get extreme between these two guys. In a way, I'd love to see that campaign in 2024. Newsom versus Mr. DeSantis back in Florida. Being a Californian, am I gonna root for the homie if that happens? Hell no. I'm not gonna root for the homie. So, it's begun. And who knows who the nominees are going to be? I mean, more and more Democrats are now saying, they were very quiet in the beginning, but now they're just openly saying in day-to-day conversation, they do not believe that the incumbent will run. They do not believe he should run in 2024. And I think even Republicans, of course, and independents buy into that. So DeSantis probably, you know, would be the nominee then. But there's no guarantee that with all the Democrats out there that are, you know, smacking their lips, that Gavin Newsom will be ushered into that spot just because he's got good hair and he's telegenic and he's saving our liberties. Any comments on this? 490-5858. That was good stuff. 800-776-5858. Thomas Del Picaro. I'm sure he'll have a comment on that. He's going to be joining us today at noon. I always love having Tom on. And he had a piece the other day that I thought was great. It was outlining the beginnings of the Civil War going on within the Democratic Party. So we'll play with that and a few other things when Mr. Del Picaro can join us. So we will continue after we take a little break here on KMJ. It's the Ray Appleton Program, 490-5858, 800-776-5858. If you want to do it too, we'll be right back.
Miss the show? Subscribe to the Ray Appleton Podcast. Get Ray Appleton right now. It's free. Or click the podcast page at kmjnow.com.
What we're going to do now, we're going to skip to the phones on KMJ. Dennis, it's all yours. Hi, what's going on?
Hey, Ray, you know, I love that commercial about Florida and everything. But did you hear about another pox that's running wild in this country?
Mm-mm.
Donkey pox.
I knew it was. We were going to go down this road. Okay, go ahead.
Well, some of the symptoms are Bidenitis, Newsomosis, extreme stupidity, wokeism, gender confusion.
Okay, Dennis. Thank you. You give that maybe a C plus for effort there. That was great dialogue from that ad. I wish I could see the whole video. I imagine I can if we just Google it, you know. Geico. Why isn't, you know, we're not sure. But I think, you know, big businesses that are national are probably going to reconsider everything about California on their dance card and get out. Fees are too high. Taxes are too high. They can't operate here. And Geico has closed all 38 of its offices. And they've stopped selling insurance over the phone to those living in California. Now, they're just in the phase of phasing all that out and this new way of doing business, which is no business in California, moving in that direction. But in the past few days, Geico closed down offices across the state, including Sacramento, Modesto, Roseville. Some of these offices just barely have opened in the last year. But hundreds of workers have been laid off across California. And that's according to a company message provided to the media. Other media folks have reported that customers may not be able to purchase Geico coverage over the phone. And that's what Geico's saying. Quote, "We continue to write policies in California. We remain available through our direct channels for more than 2.18 million California customers presently being insured. I think what they're saying is, they're probably not going to take any new business over the telephone, period. That's the vibe I'm getting from this. So if you're currently a Geico customer and have that insurance, okay, fine. They'll do business with you on the phone. If you want to do business with Geico, you may not be able to. I mean, that's the vibe I get. So is this a trend for the country? No. I mean, they closed down the stores in, you know, all of the stores in California. They currently remain open in every other state and have said they have absolutely no plans to close anymore. So something about California has really soured the look on the Geico Gecko's face. Say that 10 times in a row. Geico Gecko. That's not good, though. I mean, we can all, you know, shake our heads up and down saying, yeah, we understand why, but it's still not good. It's not good for the California economy. And, you know, direct blame can be thrown right at that tyranny of the majority up in Sacramento. And the guy who wants to be president in 2024 and run against DeSantis. You'd think with a big company like Geico closing all of its doors in California, there'd be all kinds of noise out of Sacramento from the governor and those below him saying, you know, oh, please don't go. Let's work this out. It just sounds like they're letting the company go. Down in Los Angeles, this is great. An 80-year-old California liquor store owner was caught on video opening fire at a would-be robber with a shotgun, prompting the suspect to run out of the business and into the street screaming, "He shot my arm off! He shot my arm off!" This was a self-defense act. It happened early Sunday at the Norco Market and Liquor Store in Norco, which is just east of L.A., and after the store's owner was, you know, confronted by the gunman wielding a rifle, things changed. Quote, this is the Riverside County Sheriff's Office saying, in this case, a lawfully armed member of our community prevented a violent crime and ensured their own safety while being confronted with multiple armed suspects. Now, surveillance footage shows the masked suspect pointing a rifle at the store owner moments before the owner reached behind the counter, grabbed a shotgun, and fired right at him. And then the suspect is heard screaming, "He shot my arm off!" Now, the individual that tried to pull this off is 23 years old. He's not been publicly identified. He was later tracked down at a local hospital, suffering from pretty nasty gunshot wounds, which are consistent with a shotgun blast. He remains in critical but stable condition, and he's, you know, be booked into jail upon his release, and then probably immediately let go. The other men, police say, were inside the getaway vehicle. And that was also found at the hospital. And they were identified as a 22-year-old kid named Justin Johnson. Hey, I'm 50 years older. I can call him a kid. And that guy's of Inglewood. And then Jamar Williams, 27, of Los Angeles. And Devin Brodus, 24, of Las Vegas. So the BMW SUV that they were traveling in, it was previously reported stolen and found to contain numerous stolen firearms. And now each of these men are facing charges of robbery, conspiracy, and are being held in lieu of a bail of $500,000 each. Ouch. But, you know, Gascon will get a hold of that. And yeah, you know what'll happen. The 80-year-old, how is he? Well, he's in the hospital. Because after this happened, he had a heart attack. Poor guy. But he's okay. He's going to be okay. And no charges are being brought against him. In fact, the sheriff in Riverside was adamant in saying, self-defense, and the whole thing is on video. So that's good. So, you know, one for the good guys. I love it when the good guys win, right? One of the big questions we're going to tackle today on the Ray Appleton program, this is heavy stuff. The FAA wants to know, are your airplane seats too small? What's the major complaint when you fly anywhere? For me, it's the seats. You know, it's the seats. Now, the butt part of the seat is fine. It's the leg room that I can't stand because I have to become a contortionist, you know, like with a circus to fit if I'm you know, traveling in coach. Man. So maybe the seat in my world is not that small, but the room that seat is in is small. So I would say something's got to be done. But We'll go through a chapter and verse in a little bit here. Thomas Del Picaro is coming up at noon, just after noon today, and we've got a lot of stuff to talk about with him. One thing that irks me is this lawsuit, and we'll talk about this later for sure, out of the Chaffee Zoo. They've been moved to defend themselves against this lawsuit from a nonprofit group called the Non-Human Rights Project. They filed a civil action against the zoo last year. And the zoo claims that the zoo's three elephants, Amali, Nalwazi, and this one I don't know, Vasmuzi, have been unlawfully imprisoned, that's in their words, and restrained of their liberty. Oh my God. But the individual who runs the zoo said there's nothing but a frivolous lawsuit. It's bogus, and it really is. Look at that wonderful exhibit that they're in. John Dolan, who's been on the program, he's a new zoo CEO. I'm not worried about it because I don't think anybody who's been to the Fresno Chaffee Zoo doubts that we give the highest standards of care to our elephants. So there's more to this one, and we'll get into it today on KMJ. This one is just another one that's wrong. You know, this group wants their 15 minutes of fame, and they're going to do that on the back of the elephants from the Chaffee Zoo. No way! And no thank you. Our number two. Thomas Del Picaro, coming up right after we pay the bills. Stay here.
It's the Ray Appleton Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.